prelude, our opening hymn, God's Own Child, I gladly say it, hymn 594. You'll see a distinctive baptismal flavor to our worship service today because of the epistle reading from Romans chapter 6. Following that opening hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. That's on page 184 and following. Page 184 and following. Worship insert, readings are on one side, propers are on the other. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, all good gifts come from you. We thank you for the gifts you so freely distribute and shower down upon us. We thank you for the greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son, Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection has won for us the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the gift of holy baptism, where you have washed us clean, put your name on us, and adopted us into your family. We thank you for the gifts of service, those who have given of their time and talent and treasure to serve in this place. We thank you for the gift of Pastor Morundi and his faithful service these last 4 years. Heavenly Father, help us always to be good stewards of your gifts and to realize that all good gifts come from you. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to give us life and life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Hymn 594. 3, page 184. Page 184. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We sing together the introit.
Save your people. God.
And on earth, peace, goodwill for men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, every King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost,
Let us pray. Lord, Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness and of your great mercy. Keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Trinity is from Exodus, chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Is from Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. According to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder," and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. This is the gospel of the Lord. Now confess our Christian faith using the words in the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing now our hymn of the day, Preach You the Word, hymn 586. Please be seated.
Thank you.
know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our sermon this morning is the epistle lesson read a few moments ago from the 6th chapter of Paul's letter to the Church of God in Rome. Dear friends in Christ, you have died. Do you not know this? These hands, poor, weak, sinful, miserable as they are, have been the instruments of death for some of you. They have been executioner's hands. You have died. These lips have proclaimed it from this pulpit, in the classroom, and in private conversations. You have died. Do you not know this? If there is one truth that a faithful pastor wants to convey to the people he has been privileged to serve, it is this. You have died. Do you not know this? You have died. Some of you long ago, some of you more recently, some in this place, some far away. But the reality is the same. No matter the geography or the chronology, you have died. Do you not know this? Do you not know that you have died in and with Jesus? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You have died. Do you not know this? It was a watery death, a drowning. For some of you, the strangest kind of drowning, dying in only a few drops of water. As Christ your Lord was placed into the tomb, so you were placed underneath the waters. As Christ your Lord was really, truly dead, so you were dead. You died. This was no fake, no hoax. A true death happened at the cross, and a true death happened at the font. Christ was dead. You were dead. The executioners made certain. The font was your cross, your grave. Sure looks like a grave, open and yawning. Some of you cried out as you approached the grave. Some of you protested against death. Then the waters came, and you died. The grave of the font claimed you. But the font is not a closed grave. Behold, it stands empty and open. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. You have died, buried with Christ, a watery death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead, so you too would rise. The grave of the font was not your end, your final destination. Christ didn't remain in the tomb. Death couldn't hold him. It had to release its prey, for Christ had triumphed over it. The grave of the font can't hold you either. It becomes the place of your resurrection, your victory. You have died. But that is not the end of the story. You who were buried with Christ also rise with him. And you have been raised to walk in newness of life. Christ left death behind him in the tomb, buried there. You leave your sin behind in those waters, drowned at the font. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Before the font, your old self thrived. Your sinful nature lived, content and healthy, but destined to spend an eternity in death. Your old self ruled. You were a slave to your passions, a slave to your natural desires, a slave to sin. And a lifetime of slavery could only give you death as its reward. You served sin, and sin ruled you. Sin dwelt alive and well within you. But then you were brought to the font. There you found death, the death of your sinful nature, the death of your old self. The font was your cross, where your sinful nature was nailed to the tree with Christ. The font was your grave, where you were buried in the ground with Christ. The font was your freedom, where your shackles were released. The bonds of slavery were broken. One who has died has been set free from sin. Your body of sin has been brought to nothing, left dead, empty, destroyed, drowned. You are no longer enslaved to sin, to serve sin and its commands. You are no longer under sin's orders. You who were dead to God and alive to sin are now alive to God and dead to sin. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You have died. Do you not know this? Then why do you continue to walk in sin? Why do you return to slavery? You scoff at the children of Israel who wanted to go back to Egypt, but you have the same desire. You want to go back into slavery. You want slavery again. Should we go on sinning that grace may abound? By no means. You have died to sin, a watery death. You have been set free from sin, your shackles released. Why then do you put the shackles back on? Why do you dwell in the cesspool of death? You are Christians, and the one who has set you free calls on you to live as Christians. You were once slaves of sin, servants of sin, but no longer. You have died. Do you not know this? The gospel that you have heard proclaimed from these broken lips the past 4 years have bestowed no license to sin, no excuse or encouragement to sin. This gospel forgives sin. It delivers from sin. It calls us away from sin. It gives God's answer to sin. And that answer is always Jesus. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. The answer to your sin is Jesus. The answer to death, the penalty that your sin earned, is Jesus. He has come to set you free. He died to sin once for all, so that your sin is forgiven, so that you would never die in your sins. God's answer to your sin isn't more sin. It isn't permission to sin. It is Jesus and the forgiveness that he won. Repent. Return to that font day after day and put that old self to death. Kill him. And then leave him in the font and walk in newness of life. Live as a Christian. What does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Serve your neighbor, putting the needs of others ahead of yourselves. Serve in your vocations. Let the table of duties in the small catechism, the most neglected part of Luther's small catechism, be your guide. Learn the explanations to the Ten Commandments. Seek to do what Luther teaches us to do and to avoid what he teaches us to avoid. The Ten Commandments were given that they would be obeyed, that we would order our lives by them. Strive to live by them. And when you fail, and you will fail, repent and hear the gospel. Do not live by your passions, your lusts and sinful desires like the rest of the world. You are not animals, but human beings, created in the image of God. You are not pagans, but Christians who have died in the font. Live as Christians, walking in newness of life. Why? Not to earn salvation, but because you have been saved. Why? Because you have died. You have died to sin and its slavery. Now you live. You live with Christ. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death. The death he died was a one-time event. It will not be repeated. His grave will remain forever empty. He died to conquer death. And he rose in victory over the grave. And all who die with him will also live with him. Death has no dominion over them. Do you not know this? You will live. You have died. You have died with Christ, buried with him in baptism. And if you have died with the one who conquered death, you also will live with him. Do you not know this? You will live. The death and resurrection at the font is a preview of the last day when you, who have been put into your grave with Christ, will be raised from your tomb with Jesus as he calls you forth from your grave. Dear friends, your most important death was at the font where you died with Christ. That death means that the other death, physical death, has no claim on you. And it certainly means that eternal death has no power over you. There is one message that these broken lips, this sinner standing in a holy office, wants to convey to you, especially today. It is this: you will live. It is this message that this man, your pastor, has been privileged to proclaim to you the past 4 years, from this pulpit, in the classroom, in my office, and as you have bestowed upon me the highest honor that you can, that I never take for granted, inviting me into your lives, in your homes, at the hospital bed, at the time of death. You will live. Do you not know this? The resurrection is God's answer to suffering, God's answer to sin, God's answer to death. The resurrection is the gift that God delights to give, sending forth his messengers to proclaim it into your ears. This man standing in the pulpit, the man sitting right there, who for over 20 years has faithfully and boldly proclaimed Christ's death and resurrection to you, without compromise, without equivocation, and the man whom God will send to you to continue his faithful work among you. That's our message. That's the message of the church of all ages. You have died. But more importantly, you will live. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia, amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand and we sing the offertory. Page 192.
Welcome in the name of Jesus, who brings us from death to life. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to all of our visitors today, and also to those who are worshiping on the radio or the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who puts us to death and then makes us alive would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Thank you.
continue with the prayers of the church. Please stand. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we include Good Shepherd member Haley Ahrens recuperating from surgery, Good Shepherd member Dorothy White, who has moved from the hospital to Eastmont, Good Shepherd member Arlene Haydenfelt, who has moved back to her home at Clark Gerry, and especially for Pastor Marundi, as this is his last Sunday among us. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, hear the voice of our pleas for mercy. Your law is good and wise, but we confess that we have not kept it. Forgive us our sins. Help us to do better and keep us united to Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who fulfilled the law and the prophets, that we might remain clothed in his righteousness, which exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, send forth laborers into your harvest and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people and the gospel preached in all the world. Shower your blessings down upon Pastor Marundi and his family as they transition to Fort Wayne. Use him mightily to proclaim your message of death and life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, it is out of your love and wisdom that you provide us vocations in which to work and serve. Give us joy in our vocations, whatever they may be, and fill us with your Spirit, that we would strive to be faithful and diligent in our work and service for the benefit and blessing of our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, you resist the proud and give grace to the humble. Grant us true humility after the likeness of your only Son, that we may never be arrogant and prideful and thus provoke your wrath, but in all lowliness be made partakers of the gifts of your grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, hear those who cry out to you for help in their time of suffering. According to your gracious will, heal their infirmities or give them strength to bear all their crosses in Christian patience. Above all, sustain them in faith that they would be comforted in the forgiveness, life, and salvation they have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Father, bless those who come to the holy altar this day to receive the gift of your Son's very body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins. Through this holy sacrament, strengthen and preserve them in body and soul unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all the faithful who have gone before us in the hope of eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and now rest from their labors. Sustain us in that same hope of eternal life through Christ, that we would join them in the feast that never ends, when Christ returns in great glory on the final day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Service of Sacrament is found on page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Now this true body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand for the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. To the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into our flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with you.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Forevermore, all good gifts cometh from the Lord. cometh from the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We have been privileged to have Pastor Murundi for almost 4 years. Tonight at 5 o'clock, potluck. Check out, bring a dish and a salad or a dessert. We'll make it all work out. God always extends the loaves and the fishes. No organized program, but it'll be a great chance for us to officially say goodbye in Pastor Murundi fashion. Well, this is his last Sunday. Oh, he's still going to make a few visits tomorrow, and a few visits on Tuesday, and a few visits on Wednesday, because that's just the kind of conscientious, faithful pastor that we've had. Thanks be to God. Music, awesome. Thank you. We'll be back in here for our Sunday school opening in about 5 minutes. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We'll continue our look at Article 12 of the Epitome of the Formula of Concord, and specifically the doctrine of infant baptism. And we should get into, is it acceptable according to God's law for a Christian to hold political office, own property, or even make guns? All of those things are in the Lutheran Confessions. Check it out, and that's in the fellowship hall as well. 3 weeks from today, because, you know, you can never say goodbye too much, I suppose. 3 weeks from today, we have the farewell for Vicar Short, and we will roast him, trust me. And next Sunday will be the unofficial first day of our new vicar. He'll start shadowing for a couple of weeks, and then we'll install him the first week in August. Oh, golly, I don't know. We'll give you some time tonight. Just hold on a second. Vicar, thanks to everybody who helped in the blood drive on Monday, Tuesday, whatever day it was. And it was a good day. Things were a little bit understaffed on the Red Cross end, but thanks be to God for that. Bob.
Pastor Murundi has become the habit here to present a plaque to all departing vicars. You're not a vicar. This man was not a vicar when I presented one to him. He was on his 10th anniversary here, but everyone has had a plaque of remembrance of their time here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. So I now wish to present you with this plaque to so remember us and your service here among us. On the plaque it reads, Pastor Christopher Murundi, ordained June 27, 2010 at Faith Lutheran Church, York, Nebraska. Received a call to Dual Parish St. John Lutheran in Caron, Iowa, and Faith Lutheran in Duluth, Iowa, serving faithfully there until October 2014. When it was called to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Nebraska. Installation at Good Shepherd took place October 14, 2014, where he was installed as associate pastor. He has excelled in this position, preaching, teaching, caring for shut-ins, and working with Good Shepherd School and Preschool. He now departs from this calling to return to Fort Wayne Seminary to pursue a doctorate in biblical studies. Pastor, as you now depart from your calling here, always remember to always be a member of Good Shepherd in the hearts and prayers of the members. Here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Lincoln, Nebraska, depart now with our prayers and great thanks for your dedicated service among us. The passage on there is from 1 Timothy 6:11 through 12. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, preserve righteousness, goodness, faith, hope, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Pastor, I would now like to present my hand in appreciation for all that you have done here. This is a great man of God that has been here among us for 4 years. He now departs to further his studies to better spread the word throughout the world. Great thanks, great appreciation for all that you have done here among us. And I have not told anybody this, but I think, again, a fitting end to this little presentation and departing to the pasture would be we all rise and sing the common doxology.
Praise God.